It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today on this edition of Senior Talk. My guest is Joanne Gallant. She was with Kindred Healthcare for 30-plus years, and Dara Gopine's former executive director. She was there for, what, six years? We are going to be discussing assisted living, what it is, more importantly, what it isn't, and how to navigate it. Joanne, thank you so much for being here today. You are a wealth of knowledge on this topic, and we've been friends for a long time. It's amazing to me what people think assisted living mm-hmm. is and that everybody needs it. The minute somebody has some sort of issue, all of their friends and family, they're going to ship them off to assisted living, which, especially if they have main care or not a lot of resources, isn't really as easy as one would think. So talk to me about, you told me planning ahead is really your best.
I love it when people plan ahead. When usually what happens is the person who's choosing assisted living or their family member or their friends, something happens. So people start talking about the home that they're in, the apartment they're in is maybe not working. And so I always tell people, please, the minute you get that little idea, that little thought, be in charge of it. Start looking. Start thinking about what you need if you're not going to be able to stay in your current environment, because it isn't as easy as it sounds. Plus, you really need to understand what it is you need. And it can be overwhelming to begin with, but know what you can pay for. Know what services you need. Know what criteria you need to meet in order to be in an assisted living. There are several kinds of assisted living. There's senior housing. There's assisted living where you might get some medication delivery.
Maybe a meal,
some housekeeping. There are all kinds of options. But really, the key is to take your time, know what you're looking for, get that friend or family member that's going to help you with that journey, and then do it while you still can make a choice. Don't wait until you're in a crisis and somebody's making the choice for you. That's when it gets to be very difficult. And as far as main care goes, which is the state-funded funds that come out for assisted living, it's not easy to get it, Carol. You know, you need to be medically eligible, you need to be financially eligible, and frankly, the wait lists are long. And so starting early, getting the work done, knowing what you're looking for, knowing how you're going to pay for it is key.
I hear seniors say about other seniors, family members or their parents or neighbors or friends, she needs assisted living. We're gonna call up and get her assisted living, even though she's on main care. And I try to tell them, you'd have better luck rubbing a lamp, because it's so difficult if you are in main care because there is a waiting list. But you made a really good point about, what does the person need? Are they just not eating? Are they falling a lot? Are they not taking their meds? Are they confused? It's a huge gamut of when you really start needing services.
It is. And frankly, there is a long wait list, and main care available assisted living is not easy to find. But oftentimes, there are a lot of resources that can be put into the home before you really need to look for a placement. Home health agencies, you know, there's a lot of local resources that can help you. Again, main care pays for some of it, but a lot of times it's private pay. But that's the option to look for first.
Because sometimes you only need a little bit, someone to set up your meds once a week, maybe, mm-hmm. that type of thing.
A little housekeeping, maybe you need some help with shopping, maybe cooking. I just remind people that whatever life's routines a senior is taking into aging, they're really probably not going to change at that point. So a lot of times the senior is either doing better than most people think. They want to help and they want to be involved. But the reality is safety trumps it all. If people are not safe at home or are really isolated and depressed and it's not working for them, then people need to think outside of the home options.
What's the first step if someone does, they've done all of this and they think, I think assisted living really is the key. They've got several things that they need help with. What's that first step? Do they call a look around at facilities and call them up and see what's happening? Do they call the state if it's main care?
Well, what I encourage people to do is, it seems overwhelming, so break it down into three parts is what I tell people. Really understand what you're looking for first. Will you be taking your car to campus? Will you need transportation? Will you need to take your dog? Are you a smoker? You know, so some of these life's routines you need to really think about. What's the most important thing to you? What do you care about? Do you want a studio apartment? Are you okay with a one-bedroom apartment? You know, do you need meals? Do you need housekeeping? What do you need? Do you care about activities, socialization? You know, think that through. And then, of course, once you've decided, can you pay for it? What do you have for resources? So if main care is one of your options, we've sort of talked about that. The criteria medically and financially is very, very strict. And so get working on that.
Yeah, because it's hard to get in.
It's hard to get in.
Meeting the medical is difficult.
And there's not a lot out there available, and the wait lists are long. I don't want to discourage people from trying, but again, it's get in early, get going, get thinking about it. If you do have private funds, if you're fortunate enough to have some money, you know, understand what it will cost you, how long will your money provide for, and then there's the long-term care insurance piece. And I talk about that because sometimes people don't realize they have an assisted living component to their long-term care insurance policy. And I'm happy to say that I've been able to help people get some retro pay throughout the years for not realizing what their assisted living product is through their long-term care insurance. And speaking of long-term care, this is not nursing home placement we're talking about. We're talking about senior housing options, assisted living components. It's not a nursing home, and there's a huge difference.
So I'm glad that you brought that up, because most people combine everything, and you and I in the aging industry understand really clearly what the differences are, but the average person doesn't. So break it down for me, straight on senior housing, assisted living, nursing home. Let's break it all down.
So straight on senior housing is, you may have the key to your apartment, you may be driving your car, you may be just getting some very simple help, housekeeping, meals. You might go to congregate meal, you might have it in your apartment, you might not have any meals at all. However, you are there for something. There's a reason that you're there. You don't want to plow. You don't want to shovel. You don't want to, you know, do some of those things that have been such a burden to you in your home, if you're really honest with yourself.
It's really like moving to an apartment.
You're going to an apartment with typically maybe a 24/7 somebody available to you if something's happened that you need help. But you've got the key to your apartment. You're living your life. You're driving your car. And you really are living by yourself pretty independently. And then if you need that assisted living where you do need meals, you need housekeeping, maybe you need your medications set up for you on a weekly basis, you know, maybe you're not driving anymore. So you need help with grocery shopping, with going to the drugstore, with going to church. You know, you need help. You need to be able to get your meals. You might go out to congregate meal, or maybe you're having your meals in your apartment. But you're still in charge of the apartment, typically. You still have a locked door, typically. But you have services available to you. And then if you need a level 4 assisted living, typically that's very medically more complex. And those are options that are out there.
And what is level 4?
So that really means that you need some hands-on medical assistance, typically. Now, level 4, according to how the state looks at it, can be very different from how the consumer looks at it. So I don't want to get into the weeds of that. But typically, a level 4 allows you to have more of a medical model. Maybe you need
skilled nursing, maybe.
It's not skilled nursing, because you wouldn't get that till you get to the nursing home, typically.
Okay.
But there's a lot of care that would be available to you. Maybe some hands-on bathing, dressing, maybe some help. You might have a wheelchair walker. You know, they're just, you're more medically in need. Perhaps there's some dementia involved. You might need a secure care unit. So some of those things are available too.
And then nursing home is the full-on skilled care.
Nursing home is full-on. So for long-term care, you're going to live typically not in an apartment. You're going to have maybe a private room. You might have a roommate. If you need a secured unit, you know, you might be in a beautiful area, but it's secured. And again, you're not in your own apartment typically. You share a room, and if you go out to the hospital and you need to come back for rehab, Medicare will pay for that in long-term care settings. So it's very different. And people do confuse it. Assisted living and long-term care, very much confused. And people think Medicare is going to pay for assisted living, and it does not.
It does not. And there are two types of assisted living. There's the one with the apartment and then residential care where you would have a room. There are a few of those around.
Sure. There's, you know, Carol,
so
that's a good
different
point.
Different models.
So many models. And that's why I say, you know, if you, the consumer, are savvy on the internet, get on and look. Just Google assisted living, and they're going to come up. And, you know, it gives you an opportunity to look at what they provide.
There are other things that you need to take into consideration when thinking about making that move. And when we come back, I want to ask you how you start that conversation with someone who maybe isn't even on that page. They're not thinking about it. It's not even on their radar, but the family's kind of thinking, you know, I think you need a little help. We will be right back right after this with more with Joanne Gallant. Stay with us. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. If you want to email me about anything you've heard or anything you would like to discuss or hear on the air, you may reach me at yourseniortalk@gmail.com. Yourseniortalk@gmail.com. Joanne, when we left, I teased that we were going to be talking about how you get someone ready for that. So how do you start the conversation if the person, they don't think they need it? It's not even on their radar that they need to do this. They're fine. Everything's good.
So that's a tough one. What I tell people is if you can include the person that's looking for assisted living in all of the discussions. A lot of times what I find is it's the adult decision-making child, perhaps, that's doing some of the research and is out trying to look around. You know, people need to be in control of their choices. Try to include the person to the best of your ability. And I ask people to position it so that they can be a little more open-minded about it. Most people do not want to leave the physicalness of their home. They don't want to leave that home they were raised in or they raised their kids in. But I tell people, ask them, are you really independent? Are you really in control in the setting you're in? Or are you stressed out? Are you feeling guilty? Are you feeling like you're burdening your friends and your family? Do you really want to live that life? Are you socially isolated? Are you really safe? Let's think about all those things and let's be honest. Let's just look. The other thing I tell people is you can go try it. You can go to assisted living for short-term stay. Some places allow respite, which is a short-term stay, a couple of weeks. Some people go to assisted living for the winter. And then they go to their camps for the summer. I've had that experience happen quite a bit. So it's not the end all. The tragedy is to not look, not try it. Because I've had so many people tell me, I got some of my independence back. I got some of the control back in my life by choosing to be in an environment where I wasn't codependent on my family, my friends. People are private. They don't want people in their business.
Well, and when you said that, it triggered a thought with me that I hadn't thought of prior. If you, maybe you need some services, not bad, maybe you don't eat right or enough and the meds are helter-skelter. If you get into an assisted living and those things are being taken care of, you may not need a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stay on your own and you not really taking the meds, not eating, maybe have a bad fall, the nursing home is looking more and more like a possibility down the line.
It's really
kind of proactive health.
It's really a phase of your life where if you can get your arms around the fact that you really weren't living quality of life of where you were, you can really, the irony is you can get some independence and control back. And isn't it great to get those relationships back with your family and friends that are more normal? You don't feel like you're burdening somebody. And it really can happen because if you're getting meals and you're getting your medications timely, then you're going to be healthier. You're going to be more able to do more for yourself. You're going to be in a better control. And I've had people say to me, I waited too long. I should not have waited this long. If you're socially isolated, a lot of assisted livings have a great social calendar. If you're a person who thinks that would be good for you, consider that. Go, you know, check it out. What do they do for socialization?
And there's a lot to be said for that, because you can keep those brain synapses firing, which can help prevent Alzheimer's or memory loss, that constant cueing and socialization and eating healthy. All of that can be preventative.
It absolutely can. And I've seen time and time again where just the structure of the environment, where it's consistent, your meals are consistent, your medications are consistent, you're not worried about falling, you're not trying to do housekeeping you can't do, you know, you've got transportation to take you to shop, you're eating the right things. It gives you back quality of life, some control, some independence, and it really is a good thing.
Physical activity, too. They have exercise classes, physical therapy. You can even have your hair done at most of them.
And I say to people, if that's not how you're wired and you don't want to socialize, that's okay.
Yeah.
You're still in an environment that helps you live the best life you can.
So let's talk about location.
Yeah.
If you are on main care, you don't have as many choices.
Mm-hmm.
But if your family is in Bangor, you really probably don't want to move to Portland where you don't know anyone. So talk to me about making those decisions.
Yeah, so I always say this is like part three for me for choosing an assisted living. So we've talked about services. What do you really, really need? We've talked about how you're going to pay for it. And the last thing, think about location. Do you want to be near your family and friends? Do you want to be near your Hannaford that you've always shopped at your Shaw's? Or do you want to be near your church members? You know, what do you care about? Because the other thing, too, is if your son lives in Massachusetts and he's only coming twice a month, go live on the ocean if that's something you've always wanted to do.
When we come back, we will talk more with Joanne Gallant about assisted living. And if you want to reach out to me, yourseniortalk@gmail.com, yourseniortalk@gmail.com. Stay with us. There is much more to come. Hi, we're back with Joanne Gallant. So deciding where you want to live, and possibly you could live, if you've always wanted to live on the water, that might be an option.
Right.
It's difficult to choose a place without seeing it. So most places you can take a tour, have a meal.
Yeah.
Talk to me about setting that up.
Yeah, so you've narrowed it down to like four or five. My recommendation is you make a visit. And so typically these places love to have you come for a visit. You might, you know, get a meal, take a tour. You want to see what the apartments look like. You want to see what the grounds are like. Do you care about whether you're going to be walking around? Will you have your car with you? You know, you want to look and check. Is it clean? Are the people friendly? So you can even tell when you call to make the appointment how people are going to receive you. And so I encourage you to do that. And if you're going to do it by yourself, fine. But I love it if somebody will take somebody else with another set of eyes and ears and go and just, you know, meet everybody. Meet the administrator. Maybe you'll get to talk to a resident or two, which I always recommend. And then try to see, you know, if the nursing part of things impresses you going forward, try to meet with the nurse that's going to be there if you decide that you need that choice.
What are some of the red flags when you first walk in? What's something that should jump out at you? If there's an odor, what should people look for?
You know, so I always know people choose a lot on first impressions, how it looks, clean, you know, is it brand new? But I'm here to tell you, it's really those communications, those interactions with the people you're going to meet. Because I've had places that are not the prettiest that provide the most utmost spectacular care. And it's a wonderful experience. But, you know, if it's dirty, if it's unkept, you know, if the people are not friendly, why would you want to live somewhere where people are not friendly? You know, you want to go check out the apartment. Does it look safe? Do the grounds look safe? Ask about their security system. Is it secured at night? You know, what's going on? Yeah, you know, you just really want to have a sense of safety. Safety is a huge piece of it.
So worry more about the safety aspect and the friendliness than if there's some dust on the potted plants.
Yeah, or if it's just not brand new furniture and you've been to the place down the road that was sparkling brand new, but oh, by the way, there's not 24/7 staffing that's appropriate, for instance. You know, so don't get fooled by those first impressions. So make that appointment, but then I also encourage people to do an unscheduled visit.
So how does that work? You just show up?
You just show up. And I encourage people to do it like towards the evening meal because it's usually the staffing is lower. You know, people don't know you're coming, so they haven't put out the red carpet for you. I just think it's a really wise thing to do. And if you can't do it, send one of your friends or whomever's helping you, because that's when you get a real sense of it. Is there still the receptionist at the front desk? Is it, how's the evening meal look? A lot of times the residents are together having a meal, great time to pop in. You get a chance to speak to somebody. Are they friendly? How's the food look? Because they haven't put the dog and pony show on for you, so to speak. So I encourage it. Do an appointment. Scheduled because you want to get the most information. So you want that person that can really tell you all the things you care about, but then do that unscheduled visit.
And are they happy to see you or are they annoyed that you showed up unannounced?
Exactly.
That'll tell you a lot.
It's really important to do. I truly encourage it.
That unannounced, uninvited guest. What about, I know the walkers probably aren't a problem, but the motorized wheelchairs can be, especially if someone, I knew someone back in the day, wasn't the best driver and the walls told the tale of that. So what about that? Are they available, accepted everywhere or not?
So criteria of the place you've chosen is important. So I always call them the what ifs. So if you go in and you're walking, talking, driving your car and whatever, well, what if you have a little stint in the hospital and all of a sudden you've got a walker or a motorized wheelchair or something, can the place you've chosen allow you to stay there and live there? I would say that people try to accommodate, but sometimes there's regulations that don't allow for it to happen. And so when you're choosing a place to go, it's important to understand if there's a continuum of care opportunity on that campus. Can you go in and living in your own apartment, but as you age in place, are there other options within that facility or that campus where you can move to having that motorized wheelchair? Or will you have to move? Will you have to choose a different place?
And that would be horrible, I would think, to make that move, to downsize and make that move to get help and then having to move again.
Yeah, horrible. I hate that word horrible, but it certainly would be a challenge because I just think I love the person who understands that this is about phases of your life and that for every phase that you're going to be in, I hope people can be open-minded to always be open to choice that gives you the most independence, the most security, and the quality of life.
This has been extraordinary information. If you want to reach out to me, yourseniortalk@gmail.com. Joanne, thank you so much for being here and sharing this with me.
Thank you for having me.
Check out what you need. See what your finances are. Make an unscheduled visit. Do a tour. And best of luck in searching for this. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk.